This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a nonprofit with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Change menus, change lives. Learn more at chefscollaborative.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Wedding Cake on Heritage Radio Network. Before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love, and that's love spelled L-U-V. And you can hashtag using a wedding cake, all one word, heritage underscore radio, and hashtag RevLove. So welcome to the fourth episode of the first season of many more to come of Wedding Cake, a sweet revenge on my own wedding day years ago when I didn't get to have cake because I eloped in Vegas. So that marriage didn't work out, but I still love weddings. I love DJing them. I love writing the ceremonies and officiating them. I even love coordinating the surprise marriage proposals around New York City. So reach out to me if you are planning on popping the question. I can coach you, and together we can make it epic. And the best part of this show, every week, we eat wedding cake on air. And because I'm not bitter and I love love, I decided I should have my cake every week and eat it too. So speaking of DJing, I, DJ Cherish the Love, am Whole Foods New York City's official DJ. So come hang and eat and listen to my select tunes every first Tuesday of every month, 6 to 8 p.m., Bryant Park, New York City. And in July, it will be July 5th, Wednesday, because of the Independence Day holiday. So I just DJed coming back from music missionary work at an orphanage in Ecuador, where I was teaching DJing to a wonderful group of teenage girls who love music and dancing. So I am just filled to the brim with love right now. So let me just soak that in for a minute because I have memories and pictures. Check them out on Instagram at DJ Cherish the Love. So you might remember my voice from my previous show on Heritage Radio Network, Primary Food. It has not gone away. It still very much lives. So search for it on iTunes and Stitcher because there are many, many gems about life and creativity and my healing from cancer. And I will be back on the Primary Food. But since it's wedding season, I figured we should all have cake and talk about love. So listeners who are listening up, you can call in live, 718-497-2128. I'll read it again. 718-497-2128. This show, Wedding Cake, is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. So please help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now, and I will love you forever. So again, you can call in live, 718-497-2128, to join me and today's guest sitting here with me. First off, my fake fiance for the episode, repeat guest on my shows, my favorite poet, Charles Waters.
Hello, dear listeners.
Hey, hey. So, Charles, I put every person in the guest fiance spot to make up a story of how you proposed to me.
Okay. since this is on the spot, I'll do the best I can.
Do you remember it, honey?
Scintilla of improv skills that I have. Well, we were at the Louvre.
Oh, yeah.
In Paris.
I love it.
Because I think Paris is the most romantic city in the world. And it was around 8 o'clock, and the sun was going down, and we had reservations for a pasta feast in about an hour. And so the sky was trimmed in purple haze, and I said, Cynthia, look up. Look at the sky. And you looked up, and then I got down on my knee and opened the ring, And then when you looked, you looked back, you didn't see me, and then you had a, your forehead crinkled, then you looked down, and then you went, then you covered your hands with your mouth and went, oh my goodness. And I said, Cynthia, DJ Cherish the Love Mallorin from the People's Republic of Queens.
And New York City.
And New York City. I know. I just like saying the People's Republic of Queens. Will you be my wife? And tears streamed down your face.
I love this.
Like rain against the windshield. And you said yes. And that was that.
Oh, my God. That I'm just going to listen to that over and over again as if that really happened.
Exactly.
This is almost better than last week's, which was she pushed me into mud and then told me no matter how dirty or messed up I was in life, she still loved me.
Wow. That's the preschool version of
thank you,
engaged.
Charles. I love that. Yes. And I did say fake fiance because... every episode, I will have a fake fiancé or fiancé to share cake with and guests with, because I guess I'll swing both ways on air. Why not? And that's just the beginning of guests I'll be having in upcoming episodes. We will also be having the hopelessly perpetual single lady to balance all the sweet love stuff. The forever bridesmaid, she'll be joining us from L.A. to tell us about her crazy wedding experiences. We've also been having guest Zillas, and we'll be having nutrition advice givers, so you can... fit into that impossibly small wedding dress that we all somehow insist on buying. And I'm really excited because we're also going to be having psychics come on to talk about relationships and things like that. So cakes and psychics, you better start subscribing to this show on iTunes, Wedding Cake, right now. So a few weeks ago, I attempted one of these woman on the streets, random interviewing strangers things. And I asked lucky folks who crossed my path around New York City and Facebooklandia what their perfect wedding looked like. And this particular answer intrigued me.
All right, so I'm just walking around the neighborhood asking random people what their ideal wedding looks like. And I found someone, asked her if she was married. She said no, she'd like to get married one day. So I'm asking, what does your ideal wedding look like?
Oh, that's easy. Champagne, outdoors in Central Park. I'm marrying Ryan Gosling. And it's a vegan wedding.
There we go. So, Central Park, champagne, Ryan Gosling, I get it. Vegan surprised me. So, I wondered if it is difficult to have a vegan wedding. I did a ton of research, made a lot of calls, made a lot of new friends, and found out, no, it is not. And that is why today's episode is called Vegan Weddings, Why and How. And this will definitely have to be a multi-part episode because how do we fit all of that into less than 40 minutes, right? So first off, today's in-studio wedding cake that we are all nibbling on at the moment is a dairy-free, cruelty-free vegan chocolate cake made by our co-host and guest, the one and only restaurateur Pamela Elizabeth. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Who has founded the wonderful Blossom Restaurants in New York City and has opened a new confectionery shop in Chelsea, Coco V Chocolat. Mm. Am I saying that right?
Yes, you are.
Correct.
Perfect.
Chocolat. And you are the author of a new gourmet vegan cookbook, which we will talk about as well.
Yes.
Awesome. So for those who are considering a vegan-friendly wedding, this and future episodes are for you. So yay, Pamela, we finally have you in studio because we've been enjoying your sound bites in the first three episodes, dropping the vegan inspiration. So now you're here.
I'm here. I'm excited to be here.
And if you're just catching these episodes now, definitely backtrack. It's just been great so far. And today we're going to actually even have a poem from Charles. He's sitting there thinking, And Charles, you were at a vegan wedding recently, correct?
I was. Demo Maritos, who is the director of sustainability at Molloy College, married Robin. Robin, now Robin Maritos, who has her own logo design business and who is a yoga instructor. And they got married at Tamerlane.
Tamerlane Farms.
They got married at Tamerlane Farms.
Beautiful.
And that the wedding was, if I ever do get married, I hope it's that way. It was just lovely. It was The ceremony lasted maybe 15 minutes, tight and right. There was no denomination or anything. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it was 15 minutes, and then we went and we threw down some good plant-based love. That
yes.
was a good chow. We had a good time. And so a vegan wedding can be done, and as a former meat eater and dairy consumer, I can tell you now, I didn't miss anything. Everything tasted as close to whatever, quote-unquote, the real mm-hmm. thing is, and one of the nice things about veganism is it expands your taste buds. So new foods I've never had before were scrumptious. And then we danced, and she was playing 80s music, and that's my generation because we're all around the same age. So it was on.
So a successful vegan wedding.
No one wore any, well, Demo and Rob, nobody wore leather or any animal, that wear animal clothes or...
I'm going to ask you questions about the invitation and how it was promoted. Was it in bold letters that this is a vegan wedding, or was it subtle?
From what I remember from the invitation, it was subtle. Mm-hmm. It was subtle. And but knowing that was going to be I think anybody who would pay attention, seeing that's at an animal sanctuary, would think it would be morally inconsistent to serve meat and dairy,
right?
At an animal sanctuary. So, but it was not. You know, there were a lot of vegans there from all over the country. I can tell you that. But I can tell you that. I didn't miss anything.
That's
you
fantastic.
Know, nobody missed anything. It was just. I mean, see, here's the thing, and I'll end with this greed. You know, you go to somebody else's wedding. You go to a friend's wedding, and they're serving meat and dairy, and you have to kind of improvise on what you can eat. But you can never go wrong at a vegan wedding.
That's right. That's true.
You're covered. You're covered no matter what. You're covered if you're a meat eater or you're not. And I love that Demo and Robin, who are dear friends of mine, just live by their morals.
Oh,
I look up to them.
That's so wonderful. Please drop a vegan poem you've got.
Oh, okay. Me. Yes. I have my own show, Poetry Time, that I perform across the country. And out of the 90 or so poems that I know by heart, three of them are vegan. And this is a poem called Ingredients. And it goes like this. Vanilla hazelnut ice cream, unsweetened cocoa powder, coconut whipped cream, almond milk, my gut growls even louder. Chilled brewed coffee, dump it in, whip up this frosted confection, pour it in a frigid glass, vegan milkshake perfection.
Oh, yeah. I think I need you to write one about vegan wedding cakes.
Oh, yeah. It'd be my pleasure.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to think of veganism as a fringe movement years and years ago, and I'm happy to say that now it is very much mainstream, and people are realizing the positive effects of adopting a more plant-based diet and thinking about cruelty-free lifestyles more than ever before. Options are popping up everywhere. I have been hitting up restaurants on a side project of mine on YouTube, a show called The Veggie Hunter. Check it out. Beyond food, couples are planning their weddings cruelty-free, exploring non-animal product versions of everything you would find at a wedding. So if you looked up interest, you'll see many pictures and pins dedicated to, quote, vegan weddings. And they're being searched more than, interestingly enough, vegetarian weddings as of the past couple of
years.
Makes
sense.
Yeah. So, Pamela, you're with us. Tell us, please, about your background and why you're a strong advocate for vegan weddings.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've been vegan for 21 years now. I went vegan when I was 19 for ethical reasons. I went vegetarian when I was 19. I received a pamphlet in the mail from an organization called the Fund for Animals, and they were talking about factory farming, something that I had never even thought about, never even heard about, and I was horrified. So that day I went vegetarian, and unfortunately, I didn't make the connection at that moment to what animals are going through in order to produce dairy and eggs. But a few years later, I did make that connection. And I went vegan. And Blossom Restaurant started because I wanted to try to do something to bring awareness to what the animals are going through. So the intention was to open with a little, you know, a couple tables. And but when we were looking for spaces, you know, everything was much bigger. So we ended up renting this beautiful townhouse. And when I walked in, I knew that was the space where it should all start. But
and what year was that?
That was in 2005. The end of 2005 is when we opened Blossom Restaurant. So 11 years ago now. And I mean, I remember being up at night, hysterical, crying, wondering if I had made the right decision. Are people really going to connect to this? You know, because it was 11 years ago. It's not like today. Veganism is a little more accepted, mm-hmm. but it did. It took off. It took off right away. And that restaurant led to a second one, and then it led to the quick serve restaurants, Blossom du Jour, and then Coco V and Urban Vegan Kitchen, and all of that. And it's just,
David, really, I think we need some applause for that. I mean, because honestly, that's what a feat. So over 10 years ago, was it difficult to get customers into Blossom?
You know, it really wasn't. People were very interested in the food, and we found that people, first of all, about 75% of our customers aren't vegan or vegetarian.
So that's cool.
They're just coming back for the food. But we found that at the very beginning that people were just loving the food, you know, and loving the vibe of the restaurant. You know, it's in an intimate townhouse. It's very special and different. And, you know, we write on the menu, Blossom is first and foremost animal caring, and I carry that through every business that I open. So
that is so, I'm so inspired by that. What do you think was the tipping point to make people more open to this concept of vegan, friendly, anything?
You mean back then?
Or over
now?
The years.
Over the years. Yeah. I think, and I applaud so many people who are just doing so much to raise awareness in general about veganism for health reasons, veganism for ethical reasons. Together, we're all making this movement happen, and it's so exciting. You know, the companies that are producing vegan foods, you know, that like those big companies just coming out with product after product after product, you know, vegan yogurts, vegan cheeses, you know, vegan burgers. All together, we're all doing so much to increase this movement, which it's so exciting.
I have to say, being in New York City for over 40 years now, I see more vegan-friendly places and restaurants every few blocks, mm-hmm. more than ever. And that is, I really like to promote the idea of meat and dairy reduction. I don't want people to feel like they're stressed out about this perfectionism idea.
Right.
What do you tell people who are, I guess some people will straight out say, I'm afraid to do this. I tell them, do the best you can.
Right.
So what do you tell people?
The same thing. Do the best you can and try to start incorporating or swap out foods right now that you're using, that you're used to eating. You know, try plant-based milks, yes, instead of dairy milk. You know, obviously, try to let go of meat, you know, and incorporate more fruits, vegetables, grains into your diet. And I think, especially for people who like to cook, it's more exciting to cook vegan than not. You know, it's much more exciting. So I just try to encourage people to do the best you can, but it's such a personal decision. You know, it's really a very personal decision, but the support is there, you know, today. It really is everywhere you turn. The vegan support is somewhere close by.
Well, I'm adopting you for the show. I'm going to keep having you come back and talk regularly about this option.
Oh, I'd love to.
And
I really
think it's not just, you know, it's when I have my next wedding, it's going to be that way. Because I just feel like what a great way to start a relationship.
Oh, my goodness.
And a new chapter in life.
Yes.
You know, this concept of things just being beautiful, cruelty-free, everything like that.
Yes.
Do you have ideas on how you would do a vegan wedding? What would be on the menu?
Well, first and foremost, anything can be done vegan. And I think it can be prepared better. Like, vegan is always better.
I love it.
I'm up for the challenge. You know, when we think about hors d'oeuvres, you know, people tend to go for crab cakes or, you know, let's say just these little hors d'oeuvres that are always containing meat. We can create such fantastic vegan hors d'oeuvres. You know, we've done a take on a crab cake. We've done on everything, anything, little tacos. Everything can be done vegan. And So I want to encourage everyone who's even considering having a vegan wedding not to get discouraged when it comes to the food, because I know that's one of the main concerns. Oh, is my uncle going to like it? Is, you know, is my husband's mom going to be okay with it? You know, and like Charles was saying earlier, everyone can eat at a vegan wedding. Everyone can eat. And people are... The food just needs to be delicious, and everyone will be happy. So that's what we should concentrate on, is that it's delicious.
If it's good, nobody's gonna complain. There'll be something at a vegan wedding that someone will like, even if they don't admit it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, here's a very interesting comment that I'd received when I was planning this show. Someone said, "Isn't it selfish to plan a vegan wedding?" And that blew my mind. Like, selfish. So. You don't think so?
No. Well, I think it would
be... you'd be imposing some kind of belief on people.
Oh, interesting. Well, aren't we doing that every day anyways with whatever we're doing?
So, yeah, right. Isn't that true?
We're just being ourselves. Yeah. But I think it's the opposite, right? We're being all-inclusive. And what can be better than to respect the earth, right? Respect the animals, respect the earth, especially at a wedding when it's this beautiful union, you know?
Right. My response to her was, I think that it would be that much more full of love and care. And how could you, not want that? Yeah. Charles, you look like you have a thought.
No, I agree with what both of you were saying. I think a lot of it is just people's egos get in the way of the good common sense. And I think when I went to veganism, it took a long time. I went through literally the five stages of grief, and finally arriving to acceptance. And then once I figured out, and this is something Demo and Robin talked about. Once it was a matter of ethics, everything changed.
Right,
there's like that.
Yeah,
in a thunderclap, everything changed. So I think the person that said that is speaking out of was being uninformed, or maybe they are informed. They just don't want to. They just don't want to admit that a vegan wedding is fine,
delicious,
and
wonderful.
And like you said,
it's not strange.
Like you said, Pamela, we impose everything on each other in life anyway. you going to, and I'm just making this up. You going to your brother's wedding, and it's not plant based. That's him putting his whoever. That's them doing the same thing.
Yes, yes.
And a vegan wedding, like you said, is the opposite. So,
well, we also have in studio Catherine Cuellofonte, who you were recently had your wedding.
Yeah.
When was that?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited to talk about that. So, yeah, I got married 2 years ago, and I did have a 95% vegan wedding, but I didn't tell anyone it was going to be a vegan wedding because I knew that people were going to be like, oh, my God, what is that? What am I going to eat? Whatever. So everything, the appetizers, whatever they, you know, when they're passing that stuff around.
Your hors d'oeuvres and things like that. Yeah, yeah.
And all of the food except for the fish and the meat was vegan. There was no dairy. There was no eggs, minimal sugar, because that's how I am. And everybody loved it. And the feedback that I got was that they loved the vegan. I had a kind of like a vegan corner, and that's what people remembered the most.
What was in your vegan corner? Let's talk about the food.
Well,
part.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we printed out the menus for people, but now I can't remember. I mean, I remember I designed the menu, so I worked with a great chef down in the Dominican Republic. But I remember I destroyed the menu, and I said, "This is what I want," and I designed the whole menu, so I can bring that the next time
because
I really can't remember now. I know we had lentils, but I can't remember anything other than that. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, hey. I don't eat all the time, but when I do, it's often plant-based. Mm. And my reasons are I just feel better psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, physically. I'm not going to say I'm 100% because sometimes it just, if I'm in a country like Ecuador and they cooked something with something that's like lard and I didn't know that and the bananas were, you know, cooked that way, I don't stress myself out over that.
Right.
Why did you guys go this path? I'd love to hear your background, your stories.
I was in Florida. I had some friends who were big animal lovers talk about it, and I thought, like like some people, I thought, oh God, they just joined a cult. What is going on? What is happening? Oh my goodness. So I let them talk, and then I went to Burger King and ordered off the dollar menu. And then their approach to it, I won't name names, but their approach to it I didn't like. I felt it was too aggressive. Sometimes they would make rude comments. Mm-hmm. But they had friends that they met through some sort of vegan group in Florida online. And I met them. And now I'm closer to them because they did it. They did it in a way that I liked. And this is when I do talk about activism or talk with somebody who's interested in a vegan lifestyle. My approach is based on theirs. They invited me to their home. They made they're from Ohio, so Skyline Chili is a big deal there in Ohio. They made their own plant-based Skyline Chili with the cheese and all that good stuff. We had a great meal. They showed me the documentary Forks Over Knives. And then afterwards, they said, okay, Charles, I'm just curious. Did you miss anything in the meal that you had? And be honest. Is there anything that you missed? And they were coming at me in such a genuine way. I said, nope, I didn't miss anything. And they said, so what? Why do you eat meat? And I came up with the excuses that I've heard. I go, well, protein. Well, that's a myth. You can get protein other ways without consuming animals. And I just made up excuses from what I heard before. I was thinking of the quickest way to get... Now I was thinking of the quickest way of kind of defending my position. And then they explained to me patiently why there's other options, and I didn't talk to them for a couple of weeks, but it kind of started to sink in. So I didn't go vegan all the way until I moved to New York. Later on, maybe 6 months later, something, or a year later, I can't remember, something like that. But they planted the seeds, and what I've learned from them was you have to let the other person take their time, and whatever time it takes. I don't care if it takes 20 years, because once everything clicks, you won't go back again, because you know too much now. Mm-hmm. You can't unlearn or unsee things that you've picked up already. So they were extraordinarily patient with me, and it took a while. But then when it happened, I really locked in. And also, I did the Vegan Pledge here in New York, sponsored by different vegan organizations. And it was like five Sundays in a row, or six Sundays. But you attended five of them because they took off because of the Super Bowl, which I thought was ridiculous. But I did five Sundays, and that's where I learned more about ethics. And Demo spoke, and other people in the animal rights community in New York spoke. There were athletes, MMA fighters.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the whole gamut. I saw people who were husky like myself, and then I'd see an MMA fighter. I went, well, okay, it's all different sizes, all different colors, all different socioeconomic backgrounds, and that really solidified it. But I do thank my friends in Florida who were patient in showing me the documentary and talking to me patiently about it, and they were never rude to me or said anything disrespectful. And that's how it happened to me. And it's been one of the smarter decisions I've made in my 43 years on the planet. I can look back on some stuff and go, oh, I wish I'd have done this different or that different. But this, I know I did the right thing. I'm on the right side of history, finally.
So. Catherine, you experienced this change in you from health reasons.
Yeah. So almost 6 years ago, I it was my awakening. I went through a major health scare, lost my left ovary in emergency surgery, and kind of just tumbled into it because I declined preventive chemo. And while I was doing a fertility treatment and trying to make up my mind on whether I was going to do the chemo or not, I came across a book called Crazy Sexy Cancer by Chris Carr. Mm-hmm. and said, well, if Chris Carr could do it and she was a stage four and I don't have anything in my body, I'm sure I can do it too. But being Latin, I had no, I didn't even know what a vegan was. I had never had broccoli before. So I went raw overnight because I'm a Virgo, so I'm extremely committed. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do and I'm never looking back. So I went raw overnight. I remember that the only raw thing I could think about was guacamole. So that's what I would have. And I would juice, I would have 6 24-ounce green juices a day. So I did that in New York for a week, and then I moved to Florida, actually, to Miami, and that's where I met my husband, Alfred, on the Obama campaign, and he was obviously not, he's Cuban-American, so not, you know, not vegan-friendly, but he has become vegan-friendly now because of me. And because
he's Catherine-friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Very. Alfred, he's smart.
But it, you know, I did go through, I mean, it's hard to, that acceptance period is hard. Like, you have to go through it yourself, and then mm-hmm. other people don't get what you're doing, and they have all these questions, and so that was definitely hard. And then I was fortunate enough to meet Pamela about a year ago, and so I've gotten more into the ethics side of it because of Pamela. So that's not something, and again, coming from a Latin background, that's unheard of. Like, nobody ever thinks about the animals. Nobody thinks about them. So I've gotten into that now, and it's been 6 years, and I feel great. You know, I still go to my doctors, and everything's fine. So food is medicine. Yeah.
So we'll talk about the ethics. Pamela, let's, you know, hear what your thoughts are behind the ethics behind it, because you're in it not as just the way you eat, but as a business and, yes. and everything. And then we'll go into planning Charles and my fake vegan wedding right after that and a break. So speaking of ethics, tell us about that. What does that mean?
Well, I guess an ethical vegan is someone who doesn't want to have anything to do with the abuse of animals. So we talk about veganism in terms of the diet, but it's a whole lifestyle, or can be a whole lifestyle, where you're not wearing any animal products. You know, you don't support companies that might test products on animals. And it's just really understanding what these beings go through on a moment-to-moment basis in these horrendous factory farms and just even backyard farms. I view animals as just another life form, right? There's what we call a human form. Then there's what we call an animal form, be it a pig, a bird, a cow, or, you know, whoever. But we all have life and deserve to live and breathe and not be harmed. And, you know, but I think so much of this is about education and people knowing what's happening. So many people don't know. They don't think about it. So, but it really is something serious, and it's not sustainable either, you know?
What does that mean? So that someone who's listening, they hear the word sustainable.
Right.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, sustainable means the amount of land it takes to house these animals. It's just literally killing the earth. You know, and it's when we look at the weather and see that, oh, it's summertime in New York and it shouldn't be stormy and 40 degrees. What's happening? You know, we have to understand that raising all of these billions of animals on this earth in this way is creating a very toxic earth. And that's when people talk about, oh, I want it to be a certain way for my grandchildren. Then we have a way, you know. If we were to all go plant-based as much as we can, oh my gosh, how the world would change.
And I think that's so key in the way you said, as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that as much as we can times how many billions of people.
Exactly.
Is
exactly.
a huge, huge difference.
Exactly.
It's about what's practical. You do the best you can in what's practical. My Anthony Martinez, a vegan activist, taught me that you do the best you can in what's practical. Mm-hmm. I think Donald Watson coined that in the 40s.
Oh, yeah.
I think
he did.
And it makes him and his wife. That makes sense to me that you can't, you know, you do the best you can. Sometimes I've had food since I've gone vegan that I then find out maybe had dairy or something in it, and I'm just not going to beat myself up anymore. I'm just, because I did in the beginning. It's just, all right, well, I'll try to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Right, and it's about your intention.
And it's about
right?
the intention.
You have that intention.
That's a great way to say it. It's about your intention. And when you know, to quote Oprah, when you know, or I think she got this from Maya Angelou, when you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
That's why it's about the education and people knowing and having the information, and then you make the decision. It's a very personal thing because we're all so conditioned in the society, yeah. right? So you have to look at it for yourself.
So how do we begin planning a vegan wedding? We're going to talk about that. We'll take a little bit of a break. A song by Caribbean, Trist, a little message from Micah, both from Unfuck the World, and then a little message from our sponsor. So don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Micah, the creator of the Unfuck the World movement. Having a vegan wedding is one of the many ways you can make this world a better place. You could also have an eco-friendly wedding. Find out what you are passionate about and join us for the 5th annual Unfuck the World Day, Saturday, June 10th. Positive local action worldwide. For more information, visit unfucktheworld.com. Don't let this system bring you down.
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a national nonprofit network with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Chefs Collaborative members work to make sustainable practices second nature for every chef in the United States. Chefs Collaborative was founded in 1993 by visionary chefs including Rick Bayless and Alice Waters, who acknowledged the influential role of food professionals on our food choices, our collective personal health, the vitality of cultures, and the integrity of the global environment. Chefs Collaborative believes that the greater culinary community can be a catalyst for positive change by expanding the market for good food and helping to preserve local farming and fishing communities. Change menus, change lives. Learn more about Chefs Collaborative at chefscollaborative.org.
Okay, so we're back, and I'm really, really, really happy to be talking about now how we would start planning our vegan wedding, Charles.
Yes.
So, I mean, for anyone else who's listening, I would say, first off, don't stress too much. I mean, it doesn't have to be laser perfect. If you choose a vegan catering already, that's a huge move. And if guests gift you a silk handkerchief, please don't lose your mind on your wedding day. Like, don't freak out. I mean, you know, maybe one of you is vegan, maybe both of you are, or you know you have friends who are vegan and you want everyone to enjoy. It's really easier than ever to be planning a vegan wedding because of how popular the movement has become, and the point is love. So, oh my God, if the side effect of our wedding is introducing the concept of meat reduction in lives in a delicious way possible, and it's enjoyable and nobody knows... And nobody's complaining, right, Catherine?
No.
Then, you know, major gold star. So I would say, you know, and I'm sure, Pamela, you can chime in, of course, just provide great food for your guests that, oh, just happens to be vegan.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And you could show people how delicious vegan living and vegan eating can be. So me personally ate very, very little meat and dairy, and pretty much everything I cook for myself. I would say everything I cook for myself at home is plant-based. And again, like sometimes I'm at events and I don't have the control, but when I do have the control, I don't stress, but I make it the way I want it to be. And if it's your wedding, you know, you shouldn't feel like you're feeling guilty about imposing anything on people. It's your wedding, right?
Right.
Right? Okay, so other ways to incorporate, aside from food, because we're going to get back to food because we have Pamela here, there is types of fabrics. You can avoid silks. Be more into the cottons, not the wools, right?
Right.
Jewelry. I was doing research on choosing conflict-free stones, diamonds that are not from areas of the world where, you know, the abuse and the mindset would clash. If you had, you know, vegan food and conflict diamond, you wouldn't want that. So don't choose pearls, I think, even.
Right.
So you can choose other types of jewelry. My wedding rings were handmade by me out of PMC, which is pure metal, metal clay, which is just silver clay. And there's so much love that I put into those rings than ever I would have if I just took my credit card out and bought some diamonds. You know, the favors on your tables, they can be vegan candies and chocolates.
Of course.
Someone next to me can talk about vegan chocolates.
Yes.
So vegan chocolates, what's a vegan chocolate?
Vegan chocolate is just chocolate that doesn't contain any dairy.
So. And how delicious is it?
So delicious. It's so delicious. And the chocolate cake we have here today is made with this delicious non-dairy vegan chocolate. So
delicious.
And no one even knows. No one even thinks twice about it. It's just a delicious dessert or delicious chocolate.
I do not for a second miss any dairy in vegan chocolates.
Right.
Because you taste the chocolate.
You taste the chocolate.
You really
exactly.
taste the chocolate.
Exactly.
You know? So as far as favors and things go, you can also get glycerin soaps as favors, you know, things like that. Think about also the shoes you wear.
Mm-hmm.
They can be animal product free. There are some really great, just Google it online.
Yeah.
There's so many shoemakers. There's Brave Gentleman in Brooklyn. There's
Creed Acur.
Exactly.
They make beautiful shoes for women.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Catherine, where do you get your vegan shoes?
Well, I still haven't bought vegan shoes.
You will now.
No, I know. I will now. But I'm more familiar with vegan fashion brands than clothing versus shoes. Mm-hmm. I know Cree Le Coeur, yeah, but I've never been to their shop before.
And Charles, you've bought vegan shoes.
I have. It took many years for me to wear out the boots and sneakers that I had, and this is something I also tell people that, you know, you don't have to throw anything away. Everybody's finances are different.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great to donate to Goodwill or what have you and just take what you have and give it to somebody who's less fortunate. But if you need to wear them, you need to wear them. Mm-hmm. Your intentions are good.
Yes.
You're stripping away all you're stripping away all of the meat and dairy you can and what you eat and what you wear, but again, what's practical.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I wore down my shoes, and I wear size 15 feet. I wear size 15, and that's difficult to find. So it took a lot of research, and it took talking to my friends Anthony and Demo, and I found that the Brooks brand of sneakers. I think their headquarters is in Washington State. Mm. I'm wearing now Brooks. Has mostly vegan-friendly footwear. I think there's one brand of their sneakers that is not. So that was
That's incredible.
That's incredible. Wow. I couldn't believe it. And I actually called their headquarters. And they said, well, Charles, there's one that we have here that's not vegan-friendly, but the rest of them are.
That's
and
huge.
I could not believe it. So that's where I'll go from now on. And boots and shoes are a little different. Boots, I went to Demo, and Demo gets his boots. He's a punk rocker, so he's very specific in his footwear. Whereas I'm a children's poet, and as long as they're comfortable and they don't break the bank, I'm good. There's a place called Vegetarian Shoes in London.
Sure, they've been around forever.
So I ordered my winter boots from Vegetarian Shoes in London, and they're fine.
That's fun. I love it. So shoes, you got covered. As you mentioned with your friend's wedding, the location and the venue, have it at someplace like a sanctuary. You know,
that's really
like
matching
that.
Your ethics to your wedding. I can
How
tell you
lovely
that.
Is
yes.
that? I think that's so incredible. You can also, someone had suggested to me to reuse or upcycle or recycle somebody else's dress that maybe it has satin in it, but you're reusing it. Mm. So that is also that's also helpful. Mm. You're not buying something new. I think that's one way to do it. Makeup and hair as well. There are a lot of non-vegan makeup products. You can use vegan makeup products.
So many vegan makeup products.
What's your favorite vegan makeup product?
I love the Elf line.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Simple. They cover everything. You know, everything a woman can want in makeup, they cover it.
And nail polish as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, so for makeup, there's Tarte and there's RMS is vegan. Mm-hmm. And for nail polish, there's something called like OHM, no? I think.
We'll look that up.
Yeah.
But
there's so many online.
You wouldn't think
Google
that
it.
Many nail polishes are not vegan because of things like guanine, carmine, oleic acid. Oh, these are all animal derived. Mm-hmm. And nail polish, come on. At the very least, you can do nail polish, right?
Yeah.
It's like no one's going to say, I miss the meat in this nail polish.
Right.
You know, so, and again, I mentioned favors. And in lieu of wedding gifts, someone suggested to me, instead of giving pots, pans, things like that, make a donation in your wedding's name to a sanctuary or PETA or something that feels good so that your wedding went to some kind of beautiful cause that is dear to you.
Yes.
It just makes it all the more lovely.
It really does.
There's so much you can find online. You can Google Martha Stewart's site. She has a great page on how to throw a vegan wedding. But let's talk about, again, like my favorite thing for the next few minutes, the food. So, Pamela, what would you serve our vegan wedding?
Oh, my goodness.
And your cookbook. The name of your cookbook.
Let's find
out. Yeah.
The name of the cookbook is The Blossom Cookbook, and it basically offers so many recipes that we've offered at the restaurant for years, and appetizers, salads, soups, entrees, desserts. You know, we cover it all. But at your wedding.
Our wedding.
She has to have the cashew raviolis at her wedding.
Yes, cashew ravioli.
Oh my gosh, those are at Blossom and they're amazing. Yeah, the cashew ravioli.
Amazing.
Okay, that would be on the menu. That would be on your menu because you'd love it so much.
Yes.
But the first thing I'd have to find out is what you guys love. What you love. What? Like if you had one thing. Charles is ready.
You can tell by looking at me. I'm not shy at the table. So I'm pretty good. I'll tell you what, I did a one-on-one poetry writing workshop with a client at Blossom 2 days ago.
Oh.
And on the Upper West Side.
Oh my goodness.
And that's where we go, and she generously not only pays for me teaching her, but she pays for our meal. And I had the ravioli for the first time. And wow,
it's
but
amazing.
your cheeseburger is the bomb.
Okay,
the
bomb. So we would have cheeseburger.
So vegan cheeseburgers. Okay.
Oh my goodness, the bomb.
So good. So we'd have that, but maybe we'd do mini sliders.
Oh,
but the same, right?
Yes.
So finger food's important at weddings, right?
Yeah,
we can't have people like just.
That'll get them fast, Cynthia. That'll get them fast at our wedding for any.
That's right. Pastas, pasta dishes.
Oh, pasta
veggie
for
dishes.
Sure. Like a delicious, I'd make a delicious pine nut pesto, spinach pesto for you guys. Oh my God, with fettuccine. It'd be so amazing. And then, of course, for dessert. Well, that all depends. The dessert really depends on you, right? Because it could be a 10-tier with cake with. We've got some red velvet going on and a little bit of chocolate and vanilla, and we could just keep going.
All of this is vegan.
And it's all vegan and amazing. It's so easy to cook vegan. That's one thing I really want people to know. It's so easy to cook vegan. And all of the products are out there for you to just gather and start working with. All of the ingredients are there.
So this is really just going to be the first episode of a series of how to have a vegan wedding. Mm. Because our time is limited, we have to wrap. But I'm going to bring you back.
Oh,
you have to come back for sure, Pamela.
I want to come back. Absolutely.
And
love
Catherine,
it so
I
much.
Want you to drop a little knowledge on, since married 2 years now, give our soon-to-be newlyweds a tip on how to stay married and happy.
Well, for us, it's well, we love each other, and we're, you know, it's like we're best friends. So I think that love, good communication, respect, and just being on this, you know, growing in the same direction, I think that's the key. Mm-hmm. So we've been married for 2 years, and we've been together for 5 years now.
Yes. Love it. Amazing.
Yeah.
Any final words? Have your vegan wedding, I think.
Have your vegan wedding. It's going to be amazing.
You can do it. It's going to be amazing, beautiful, and delicious. Thanks so much, everyone, for being
here. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
We have our little closing song by Joni Leeds and the Nightlights, and I'll do a little read, and then that's it for this episode. So please come back for more. This show, Wedding Cake, is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now, and please come back for more Wedding Cake.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.